If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope that you had a great week. Hope that you're having a great Friday morning. It's a beautiful day here in Texarkana, Texas. I was having conversations with a friend earlier this week, and he wanted to come in, and we were going to try and play golf Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon. And on Monday, the weather said raining all week, and it poured rain on Tuesday, but it cleared up, and so we had a beautiful day yesterday and a beautiful day today. So the weather is the weather forecasts, you have to take them with a grain of salt. Well, the big news in our world today is there's a new pope that the Catholic Church voted on yesterday, May the 8th, and they elected a man named Robert Francis Prevost, who is now going by the name Pope Leo the 14th, the 267th pope, the first American to ever be elected as the pope. So that was a big deal. 69-year-old, he's a Peruvian citizen, a missionary to Peru, member of the Augustinian order. He made cardinal in 2023, which is a big deal. There are 251 cardinals in the Catholic Church with 134 eligible to vote. You have to be under 80 years old to be eligible to vote. And the cardinals can vote for themselves, you know, when they come together and have to elect a new pope. The pope is called, he got this moniker in the Middle Ages, but the Vicar of God or the Vicar of Christ. I remember in church history in seminary, there was a whole chapter on that. And, you know, in the Catholic Church, they created this thing called the papacy, and they do it out of Matthew chapter 16, Peter's confession of Christ. So the Lord took his disciples away, and they went to Caesarea Philippi. They went for a little rest and relaxation because the ministry was so great that they didn't even have time to eat, the Bible says in the book of Mark. And so Jesus takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi. I've been there before, beautiful place. And he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist had his head cut off by Herod, so he was John the Baptist come back to life. That's what Herod thought of Jesus. Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah. Elijah was the prophet who comes before the Messiah, the last two verses of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4. But still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God, in a Jewish mindset, when you're the Son of God, you are on the same plane as God. You make yourself equal with God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah. Bar means son. Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Flesh and blood cannot reveal to you the true nature of Jesus. That has to be a work of God in your heart to open your mind to the truth. But my Father revealed this to you in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter. The Greek word is Petros, which means little rock, stone, pebble. We could put it in those terms. And upon this rock, Petra, which is a large slab of rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it or prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ, the Messiah. And so in the Catholic Church, I grew up Catholic. In the Catholic Church, they will tell you that Peter was the first pope. And so they trace their popes through Peter. And they say, well, the Lord said he was going to build his church on Peter. Well, he didn't say that. He said, you are, he uses Peter as a contrast. Peter's name was not Peter, and the Lord changed his name to Peter. It was Simon. And you are Peter. I gave you that new name, rock, small rock, little rock, stone, pebble. You are Peter Petros, but upon this rock, and no doubt he was speaking of himself, because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, no man can lay a foundation other than one, the one which is laid, which is Christ. And the church is built on the big rock, upon the solid rock of who the Lord is. And upon this rock, upon myself, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, or hell, as some versions say it, will not overpower it, will not prevail against it. Jesus is not building his church on Peter or on any man. He's building it on himself, on the Son of Man. And he does give the church the keys of the kingdom. He gives the church authority to bind things on earth that have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been bound and loosed in heaven. These are things that the Lord wants to accomplish through his church. The idea that that Peter is the first pope is really, in my opinion, a very flawed hermeneutic. I mean, your ability to interpret scripture is really twisted, because in the same passage, if Jesus is going to build his church on Peter, in the same passage, it says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside. Peter, the one that has just gotten an attaboy, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He says to Jesus, he's going to correct Jesus now, because in his mind he has been elevated. Hey, I got this one right. I got a gold star on my paper. But now Jesus is talking about being killed. Well, that doesn't happen to the Messiah. I mean, where was he in rabbinical school? We've learned that Messiah takes over. He's the one who kicks tail and takes names. Nobody kicks his tail. Nobody is going to kill him. So Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Good grief. You're in really dangerous territory when you're rebuking the Lord, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. So if Peter is the first pope and the Lord is passing the baton, so to speak, to Peter, hey, Peter, it's all going to be on you. Well, good grief. He calls him Satan in just a few verses from the time he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Jesus is not building his church upon any man. He's building a church upon himself. He didn't say, you will build my church. He didn't say, I will build your church. He said, I will build my church. And as we said, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is, guess what? Christ Jesus. He's the foundation for all of us. And the church is built on Jesus. Jesus is the rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he was the rock that followed him, and the rock was Christ. Do you remember when the people didn't have any water, and the Lord told Moses, he says, strike the rock, and water will come. And so he struck the rock, and water came like the ocean depths, it says in the book of Psalms. And the people were able to drink, and their flocks and herds able to drink. But then later on, they didn't have any water, and the Lord said to him, speak to the rock. But Moses allowed his anger to well up. Shall we give you water from this rock, you rebels? And he struck the rock twice. Well, you're not supposed to do that because you're messing up the symbolism here. The rock, Jesus, was struck for us one time. He was crucified one time and once for all, as according to Hebrews. And then from that moment on, you don't strike the rock, you speak to the rock. Well, Moses messed all that up, and it was such a serious sin because the Lord said, you failed to uphold my holiness and present me as holy before the people. So guess what, Moses? Here's the consequence to that. You're not going into the promised land. And Moses wanted more than anything to go into the promised land. The Lord let him see it, but he didn't let him enter it. And when Moses asked the Lord about it, and he talks about this in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord said, enough. Don't ask me about that again. You're not going in. And so it's a big deal because the rock was Christ, and he messed up the picture that the Lord was wanting to communicate to the people. But Pope Leo, what do we know about this guy? As I said, first American pope. Donald Trump was congratulating him and saying it's, you know, it's historic to be the first American pope. He is known for his focus on peace, on dialogue, on outreach to the poor. He's also known for his environmental concerns. That's a gag me for me personally. I just think the environmental concerns and all the climate change stuff is such a hoax. It's just ridiculous. God controls the climate. Does the climate change? Yes, it's been changing for a long time over the history of the world, but we don't need to be concerned about that. Do we need to make sure we don't pollute things, streams and rivers and things like that? Of course. But as far as being afraid of our carbon footprint and all that, that is ridiculous. Well, what does it mean for us to have a new pope? I ran across this statement by John MacArthur as he was talking about the papacy.
I think probably the papacy is the biggest hoax ever foisted upon the world in the name of Christianity. This is an arrogant idolatry. It's an arrogant, arrogant idolatry, a horrible thing. As J.C. Ryle said, a gigantic system of church worship, sacrament worship, Mary worship, saint worship, image worship, relic worship, priest worship, and pope worship, a huge organized idolatry. It seduces. It's satanic. True church has nothing to do with it. It is Christless. The head of the church, as I said to you a couple of weeks ago when we were going through this to start with, is none other than Christ. Colossians 1:18, he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. That's what I was saying this morning. Diminish Christ and you lift up the ministers. Exalt Christ and the ministers disappear.
Diminish Christ and you lift up the ministers. Exalt Christ and the ministers disappear. I was thinking about what John the Baptist said, John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase and I must decrease. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. We exalt Jesus. We glorify Jesus. We magnify Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. So what? You're the pastor of a church. That just means you're the example of servant leadership in the church. You're an example to the flock of what it means to follow Jesus. You're not elevated. When you humble yourself, then you're exalted before the Lord. Well, we're talking about the situation with the Pope. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. And when we come back from the break, we're going to open up the phone lines earlier this time, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the Pope. The new Pope came into being on Thursday. He was elected by the Cardinals, 251 Cardinals in the Catholic Church, with 134 eligible to vote. And they did vote, and they voted for Robert Francis Prevost, who has taken the name Pope Leo XIV. Interestingly, the first pope, as the papacy really was established, was Pope Leo I, 440 to 461 AD, at the Council of Chalcedon in 451. And so, obviously, Catholics will say, well, Pope Leo I was not the first pope. Peter was the first pope. This is something to remember as you're reading the New Testament. Peter died in 66-67 AD. He was martyred under Nero, as was Paul. The emphasis in the New Testament, Peter is the number one disciple. When the Bible lists the disciples, Peter's always named first. Peter is not the leader of the church in Jerusalem. James is, and Peter is the apostle to the Jews, as Paul said, and he's the apostle to the Gentiles. But the emphasis on the New Testament in the book of Acts, starting in the conversion of Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 9, is not on Peter. It's more on the Apostle Paul. And so if you were just looking at, based on the New Testament, who's the leader of the church? What are the New Testament writers writing about? It would be Paul the missionary. He wrote almost half of the New Testament. Peter didn't write a gospel, although the Church Fathers said, well, Mark wrote Peter's gospel. So the gospel of Mark is information that Mark got, obviously, from the Holy Spirit, but he got it from Peter. And then Peter wrote two letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. But Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He is the emphasis of the book of Acts, his missionary journeys. So based on Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Catholics say, well, yeah, the Lord's building it on Peter. He was the first pope, and that's how we get our papacy. I reject that completely. Jesus is he is to have first place in everything. He is the head of the church, not a man, not a pope. Jesus is the head of the church, and he must increase and I must decrease. And God does call prophets and pastors and elders and leaders in the church, but we're not the shepherd, we're the under shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd who is coming again, as the scripture tells us. Well, we are going to the phone lines early today because we haven't taken calls this week because of a special guest. So if you have a question, a comment, please give me a call, 888-589-8840. And we have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jay, appreciate you taking my call. Love the program. I'm glad you took up this issue. I was praying about that yesterday. I was on the back 40 working on the fence line yesterday, had the radio with me, and they was kind of doing a variety of songs and stuff from the past. And one song come through, and the Lord kind of lines up. He'll do what he wants to, right? But anyway, one of the songs going to say that, well, are you down with OPP or something like that? And it's like the Spirit said, no, and I'm not down with POPE. But I just think, I don't know, I'm serious. Yes, sir. And so I came in and was watching some of it. Then yesterday evening, as we were waiting on who it would be and everything, my mind reverted back to Acts 3. And I remember I had some old notes I was looking through where it talks about where Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, and the beggar was, you know, and Peter, and it says Pope too was talking to one of his bishops, and it says, well, you know, Peter tells him, says, silver, gold have I none, but he'll take up, rise up and walk. You know, and I think it's Pope too tells the archbishop that, you know, well, we can't say that no more because their pockets were full, right? Mm-hmm. And the archbishop replies back to the Pope the second, says, yeah, and we also can't say, take up your bed and walk. I don't know. I think when I was watching, it's just like the Lord spoke to my spirit. You're looking at true religion. You know, religion put our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. Right. And just, that's really, really what I had, but you're doing such a great job, and we love you, and thank you so much for taking my call, Brother Jill.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in. Well, yeah, you watch how they do things in the Catholic Church. And like I said, I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic school. I was an altar boy. I was taught things about God that were, you know, other than all the religious paraphernalia, the truth about Jesus being the Son of God and God the Son, the truth about the Trinity, that's good, solid stuff. The truth about Jesus dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. I was taught some basic solid truths in the Catholic Church. When I became a Christian at the age of 17, I didn't have to learn as far as, well, you know, who is this Jesus? I have no idea. But for me, all that I was taught in the Catholic Church, it was always do, do, do. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That was the question from the Philippian jailer. And so it's like, well, you have to be a good person. If you're going to get to heaven, you have to be a good person. So I guess I was trying to be a good person, but not really. I mean, I was just living for sin and self as a high school student. And, you know, that's the way so many of us live. And, you know, I just figured that the Lord grades on a curve. And so when I die and stand before God, I was like, well, Lord, you know, I didn't rob any banks and I didn't kill anybody and I didn't commit any acts of, you know, sexual crimes or anything like that. So I guess I should be good. When I got saved as a 17-year-old high school senior alone in my bedroom, it was because the Lord convicted my heart and opened my eyes to the fact that if I died, I wouldn't go to heaven. I had no basis to go to heaven. I was trusting in my good works. And people that say, well, it's, you know, it's faith plus works equals salvation. The real trust that they have in that equation is the works. And it's what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus is really important. It's what he did on the cross. But they're really trusting in their works to get them to heaven. I had a Catholic aunt who was married to a Jewish man. And we loved Aunt Regina and Uncle Harry. They were just wonderful to us. Six kids. They didn't have any children. And they just would come and visit us. And Uncle Harry was very well-to-do. And he would take us to Toys R Us as little kids. Buy anything you want. I'm getting it for you. It was wonderful when they came to visit at Thanksgiving. But I remember visiting them after I'd become a Christian. I was talking to my aunt, who was very devout Catholic. And I said, well, what about Uncle Harry? He doesn't believe in Jesus. And she said, well, I just think heaven is a place for all good people. And your uncle is a good man. Well, it's like, do you not understand anything about the gospel? I mean, Harry is good compared to other people. But as Jesus told the rich young ruler who said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Do you recognize that I am God? That's the inference there. Not that Jesus is saying I'm not God, so don't call me good. He said, do you recognize I am God? No one is good but God alone. And the Bible says there is none righteous, not even one. Uncle Harry is not righteous. He's a good man, quote unquote good man, in relation to other sinners, but he's a sinner. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what do you get for being a sinner? For the wages of sin is death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, death forever. And what is the lake of fire called? The second death. That's what is happening to every person outside of Christ. For every quote-unquote good person, they're not good. And the Lord is holy, 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 and we are sinful, sinful, sinful. And that's why we desperately need a Savior. And until you come to that realization, you're never going to be saved. Until you come to realize it has nothing to do with works. What must I do to be saved? What did they tell the Philippian jailer? What must I do? Must I go to church? Must I say 10 Hail Marys? What do I have to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You repent and believe. And when the Bible says believe on Jesus, it's assuming that you're repenting and believing. When it says repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's assuming that you're believing with your repentance. That's why it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some men count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. We repent and believe on Jesus. So those are used together. You know, any teaching that does not point people to Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation is false teaching. Because that's our job as witnesses. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And we witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we tell people about Jesus who saved us, and he will save them if they will repent and believe. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And guess what happens when you truly get saved? Your life changes from the inside out. And people begin to notice your good works, because the Lord, when he comes into our hearts, he begins to work on us, and he works out our salvation. As the scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The song says, I will never be the same again. I can't be the same again, because now I'm under new ownership, new management, and the Lord is in charge. And so my life is going to start reflecting the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him. And as we talk about shine, Jesus said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Listen, when it comes to good works, they are not the root of salvation. They are the fruit of salvation. How do you know if somebody's really saved? Their life is changed. That's the acid test. Those who claim to know Christ and have no change in their lives, there's no fruit of that decision in their lives, guess what? They probably have never been saved. That's what James said. You show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Because faith without works is dead, being by itself. You don't have genuine faith if there are not works attached. You're not saved by works. You're saved for good works, and good works are the outflow of genuine faith. Well, we have Shelly on the line from Texas. Shelly, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
So first, I would like to thank you for that very clear speaking of the gospel. We can't tell people that enough.
Right.
So I appreciate that. Secondly, I heard a man teaching just last night from Mount Hermon, and he said Moses got to be in the Promised Land for the transfiguration. So he didn't get to go in before he died, but he got to go in after he died.
Yes, great point. Yeah, Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. Yeah, and you know, Moses is one of the greatest men in Scripture. The Lord spoke to him face to face. The Bible says that there has not arisen a prophet like Moses in all Israel. Following Moses was Joshua. Joshua was a great leader, but man, no wonder the Lord told him three times, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, because you have to follow Moses. And I love that, Shelley, that he did get to go there, but just not before he died.
So thank you.
All right, Shelley, thank you. God bless you. Well, we have Jason on the line from Texas. Jason, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Shreve. It's great to talk to you again. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah. You're driving.
Yes, I'm a truck driver for a living, so I
yes.
have Airbus.
Yeah, well, very good. Go ahead.
I wanted to share a short story with you and hear your comments on it. I took a week vacation with a friend several years ago, and his mom was a nun in the Catholic Church. And we had a day where we spent all day talking together, and she was asking me the difference, in my view, between Christianity and Catholicism. And I told her, well, there's so many things in the Bible, and what you said about, or what John MacArthur said earlier was wonderful. And a couple other things I would point out is that the Bible clearly states that you shall call no man on earth father, for right. your father is God in heaven. And he also, Jesus said that the church wasn't a building, but it was his body of believers, and yet some of the most expensive and beautiful buildings in the world are Catholic churches.
Right.
And as I was talking with her, she really listened to what I had to say about Christianity and my belief in Jesus. And from my understanding from her son, a few weeks later, she completely dedicated her life to Jesus.
Wow. That's great. Jason, I appreciate that. We are getting close to a break, so I'm sorry we had to cut you off. But that is wonderful, and you bring up some good points. I had mentioned, I posted something on X yesterday about all the externals that you have in the Catholic Church with the candles and the incense and the ornate robes. It seems to be a carryover from the Old Testament. So external. And not internal. And that's the big problem. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And when we come back, we will take more of your calls. 888-589-8840. Don't go away. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life or the death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, the mother will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Yes, you can email me, pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. I love to hear from our listeners. You can also follow me on X, used to be called Twitter, now it's called X, @Jeff, JeffShreve, and connect with me that way. Do want to say that my new book, The Devil's Newsroom, comes out on Tuesday. It's going to be released on Tuesday. If you want to find out more about that, you can go to thedevilsnewsroom.com. thedevilsnewsroom.com. Don't put an apostrophe in there, but just www.thedevilsnewsroom.com. And you can listen to, I read the introduction, and Debbie reads the foreword from Mike Huckabee. And Mike was very gracious to write the foreword for the book. And I hope that book does really well and just ministers to a lot of people with the truth. I shine the light of God's truth on the devil's lies. How do you deal with lies? You shine the light of the truth. And so I just reiterated to people this morning, I made a post on Facebook and said, listen, since I started From His Heart Ministries at the end of 2004, I set it up to where Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for the ministry. I've been a volunteer for all these years. Anything I do, anything I write, this is now the sixth book I've written. All the proceeds go to From His Heart Ministries. So I like it that way. And so then there's never a question about, well, how much are you getting out of this? Well, I get what I always get, zero. And so may the Lord get all the glory, and may He use that to really open eyes. Well, we are going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We've been talking about the Pope, Pope Leo XIV, Robert Francis Prevost, first American Pope, 267th Pope, a 69-year-old Peruvian citizen and a missionary to Peru. And he is taking over the reins there. Of the Catholic Church. And what do we think about that from Scripture? So let's go to Ann from Iowa. Ann, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Ann, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead, Ann.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my call, Pastor Jeff. I'm what you call a cradle Catholic, born and raised in a large Catholic family, 12 years of parochial school, and thank goodness the Lord touched my heart when I was in my 40s and brought my husband into my life who's a Christian, and through a process where I started to read the Bible and study it with a group, that I found that there's the truth, and I feel like the scales have been removed from my eyes, that all this time I struggled to feel good about, you know, being a good person, but in essence it's so simple. You just need to believe in Jesus. And I believe that the Catholics in our world, in our society, are probably one of the largest group of people that we could really evangelize with.
Exactly. You know, Ann, I think, and that is great in your testimony, but I totally agree, because Catholics, they're taught, as I said, I was taught about Jesus and the cross and the resurrection and the miracles and the deity of Christ, all those things. I didn't question that. That wasn't a stumbling block for me. But it was, as you know, it's all religion. It's just, you know, try harder, do better. It's all just facts and figures in your mind about Jesus. It's not a heart relationship with Him, because nobody talks about that. What must I do to be saved? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's just assumed kind of in the Catholic Church. And they don't talk to you about sin and being born on the highway to hell and needing to receive Christ. Infant baptism at 2 weeks of age does not forgive your sins. You have to make a personal decision when you're able to understand what it means and what your sinful situation really is and what the gospel is all about. So I'm glad that happened to you.
Exactly, and I don't need a priest to be my conduit to Jesus Christ. My Lord right. is close to my heart, so yes.
Yeah, very good.
Thank God He came into my life.
Amen. Well, thank you for calling in, Ann. God bless you. So this is what the Scripture says. There is one God. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. There is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Jesus, Mary is not your mediator. Jesus is your mediator. Saints are not your mediator. Jesus is your mediator. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. There is salvation, as Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." So let's go to Chris from Mississippi. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Good. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, thank you. I'm an evangelist from Brandon. I died a couple times in September 23 and was in a Catholic hospital. Now, God used the doctors to save my life, but long story short, the Catholic female that came in that's supposedly clergy, and I would talk, and she came in spouting a lot of that stuff and told me word for word, "I don't need Jesus Christ to go to heaven. All I have to do is to have loved, and I'm kind of tough. I'm in a prison ministry, and people say, Petey, you preach like Paul." Well, I just said, "Well, I love Dr. Pepper. I guess I'm going to heaven." And, you know, I said, "You know, you're going to wake up and realize you're in hell." Mm-hmm. And then I had a nurse come in and asked her, I said, I was led to ask her, "Did your Jesus ever sin?" "Well, of course he did. We're all sinners," she says. I said, "Oh, no, ma'am, your Jesus can't save you." She goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "I meant exactly what I said. Your Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. He can't save you. He has no power or authority to save you." And I have friends that are Catholic that used exactly what you're using today. "Well, Peter was the first pope." No, he wasn't. And Jesus is the head of the church. Peter's not.
Right.
Peter was a fallen man. He actually, in my opinion, you might disagree, when Jesus went to him after he denied him, he said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." Now, he brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's I don't know how, and I've got a brother that's in it and told me he couldn't stand the current pope that just passed. But anyhow, I just want to thank you for today's show. You are awesome. You're a strong man of faith, and we love you.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for your kind and encouraging comments. Well, we have Cassie on the line from Texas. Cassie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff, and I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a comment about I don't feel anything for what we're calling this pope, and I don't understand why he is put up on such a pedestal. Is it blasphemy? Because it kind of seems that way to me. This is a man, and God calls us all. You know, yes, we have shepherds, we have pastors, but he calls all of us as men and women, you know, the human race, to look at him as God. These people, you would think, they think that the pope is God. Mm-hmm. And I feel so bad because I'm like, this is what they should be proclaiming about our Lord, you know, about
right.
God.
Right.
And yet it's like he's being replaced by this symbol called the pope.
Mm-hmm. Well, they call the pope the vicar of God, which means the pope acts as God's representative on earth, or the vicar of Christ. He's Christ's representative on earth. He guides the church with divinely delegated authority. And that's just not true. We're just men. I like what John MacArthur said when somebody said, "Hey, as a pastor, how much authority do you have over people?" He said, "I have no authority over people." He said, "The word of God is what has authority over people. Christ has authority over people." Now, I can counsel people. I can tell people, "Hey, thus says the Lord," but I don't have any personal authority over people. And, you know, the things that they believe in the Catholic Church about the, you know, whatever the Pope says, that's coming from God. That's just not true. You know, we're all flawed men, and we can get some things wrong. You know, I like what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, talking about Paul's writings. He said, "Some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scripture, to their own destruction." I mean, Paul had, you know, as far as his intellectual understanding and his theological understanding, it was deeper than Peter's. And Peter even acknowledges that the things that Paul writes are hard to understand. And so we have to wrestle with those things, and we have to dig, and we have to pray. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us insight. But, you know, he's not this person that all of a sudden is elevated and, you know, here you wear this garb and you put on this big hat and you are my representative on earth. Now, in a sense, we all are. We're his witnesses. We represent Jesus to the world, but we don't have all the authority comes from God. It doesn't reside in us. And I believe, too, that the apostles, you had a season for the apostles, and then they died out. We don't have any more apostles. An apostle had to have seen Jesus. Paul was the last of the apostles. And so I just think everything gets twisted, and so much of it is just external, which to me really... It really encapsulates what the Catholic Church is about. It's all external. It's not, they clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside, that's what you got to deal with, is the inside. Religion can't deal with the inside. Trying to clean yourself up and pull yourself up by your bootstraps, that doesn't work. That can never conquer sin. You have to recognize, I can't do it. As the Martin Luther, who tried so hard to please God in his flesh, he realized, I can't do it. And then he ran across the verse, but the righteous man shall live by faith. And when he saw that he couldn't do it, nothing he could do could earn God's favor, then he yielded to the Lord and he asked Christ to save him. And that changed his life. So I appreciate that, Cassie. Thanks so much for the call, and God bless you. We have Kara on the line from Oklahoma. Kara, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was in a discussion yesterday. My children go to Catholic school, but we are not Catholic. Mm-hmm. And my daughter's best friend also goes to this school, and she is not Catholic. But I was having a discussion with her mom, who is a very good friend of mine, yesterday. And she was saying that she felt like the Catholics have it right in certain ways because of, she didn't specifically say because of the works, but she was saying that because evangelicals believe that all you have to do are say a few words and you get your salvation, that we have cheapened the gospel. And she believes that we can lose our salvation. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to her?
Well, you know, in Catholic theology, you can never be assured of salvation. Even the Pope is not assured of salvation, and because it's related to works, and when you add works to the equation, you know, it's God's grace plus your faith plus nothing else equals salvation. For by grace you've been saved through faith. But if you add works, then how do you know you've worked enough? And so then in Catholic theology, you have purgatory. And I was taught as a kid that, you know, how do you go to heaven? Well, nobody really goes straight to heaven. You have to go to purgatory. And purgatory is where you are purged. Your sins are purged, which is just such a slap in the face to what the Lord did on the cross. That wasn't enough. Well, Jesus, when he died on the cross, said, it is finished. Paid in full. There's nothing more that needs to be paid. You and I don't add our puny little 25 cents of works to what the Lord did on the cross, which has incalculable value. That's just ludicrous, and that is such a slap in the face to the Lord. Oh, I appreciate what you did for me, Jesus, dying on the cross, taking my sins upon yourself, paying for my sins, being buried, and rising again from the dead. But here I need to walk a little old lady across the street. I need to give some money. I need to pray some prayers. And if I add enough good works to what you did on the cross, then I'll get to heaven. That's just ludicrous. And that's blasphemous. What he did on the cross is sufficient. It is finished. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom when Jesus died upon the cross, indicating that God was receiving his sacrifice, and now there was no barrier between us and God. We don't have to come through a priest, as one caller said, because the Lord is our mediator. He is our high priest, And we can come directly to the Father, to the throne of grace through Jesus. Well, I appreciate that, Kara. Thanks for calling in. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It's such a joy to be with you. Look forward to being with you on Monday. So go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.